Only after standing for a song led by Tim Cannon do your calves hurt, as well as your vocal cords. But praise the Lord, what a rich blessing it's been for us to be in this meeting already, and just thank the Lord for His goodness and mercy. I've enjoyed all of the meeting. The whole each message seemed to flow into the next, even the prayers and the song service this morning. The back end of the song service, there were several different songs or verses about leaning on Jesus, and that made me think about a favorite passage in Proverbs chapter 3 that I write in the card or Bible that we give to graduates up at Chattanooga when they are preparing to move on to the next stage of challenge and opportunity in their lives, a passage near and dear to the hearts of God's people all over the world. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Old Testament analog for faith in the New Testament is usually trust. The two words mean the same thing, really. They're two different ways of saying the same thing. And I like that word picture of leaning, because really that's what it's all about. You've seen the teamwork building exercise of someone standing up and then falling back into the expectant, hoping they're going to be caught by the arms of another person or people behind them. And that is teaching teammates to build trust in each other. And depending on the level of age and maturity of the people involved, some of them might get a big kick out of giving you reasons not to build trust in them as you go through that exercise. But the leaning there is the expression of not relying on yourself, on your own two feet to keep you on your feet, but trusting in someone else to catch you and set you back on your feet. And leaning also, to me, it has the connotation of not just the physical angle of something, you're leaning on this pulpit, but it describes an inclination. Which way do you lean politically? Or, when the wind blows, you lean this way or you lean that way. It's describing an inclination of the nature of the thing we're talking about. Here, this proverb from the wisest man who lived before Christ came to this earth said, trust in the Lord, have faith, have confidence, lean on the Lord wholeheartedly with all thine heart, and lean not, because you can't lean in two directions at the same time. You want to try it? Just stand up and try to lean one way and then try to lean an entirely different way at the same time. It can't be done. You can do them in succession, but you can't do them both simultaneously. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ telling us you cannot love God and mammon. He's not telling you, don't try to. I mean, that's good advice. But he's telling you simply, it can't be done. If you are in love with the world, John warns us in his first epistle, you can't be in love with God at the same time. It's just an impossibility by the very nature of the thing. So the question I want to ask you this afternoon is, are you leaning? Are you standing just perfectly fine on your own two feet? If you're leaning, which direction are you leaning? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I feel like there's too much in that verse for me to even attempt to preach, so I'm going to just turn the page. I want to go to John 13. This is the picture that came to my mind as we were singing this morning about learning to lean on Jesus. In John 13, there's a description of a most unusual scene. The apostles are gathered in the upper room with Christ, who knows everything that's about to happen, and yet in spite of the urgency of the moment, in spite of the great weight of the trials that lie ahead for him, he creates this most peaceful, serene atmosphere in which he bathes the feet of his disciples. And there are a multitude of precious lessons in the words and actions of Jesus in that passage. But as we come to the end of that description of that scene, Jesus said, troubled in spirit, verily, verily, verse 21, John 13, 21, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Mark, I think it is, says they all asked each other, is it I? They weren't, you know, far from the level of confidence in their Christian walk that many people profess to have today. These closest disciples of Jesus, his 12 closest friends, all looked at each other and said, am I the one who's going to betray my friend, my Lord, my Master, my Savior? Doubting of whom he spake. Verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So you picture the scene. The disciples' feet have been washed by their Lord and Master. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, he just told them. Learn by example. Ye call me Lord and Master, and well ye say, for so I am. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. All these wonderful, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. All of these profound spiritual lessons that Jesus was imparting to his disciples on the evening before his crucifixion. And then this word of warning. And they're all thrown into doubt. But there's one, and Bible students agree that this formula that's used, the description, the disciple whom Jesus loved, when it appears in the writings of John, is John's own description of himself. John, the youngest of the 12 apostles, perhaps not much more than a teenager, this young man leaning on the bosom of Jesus, close to his physical presence, he could hear, he could feel his heartbeat. He could feel the warmth of his embrace. He leaned on the bosom of Jesus. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. They were timid, they were unsure, they were full of doubt. But the one leaning on the bosom of Jesus was the one they said, you should ask the question. It's easier to talk to Jesus when you're leaning on him. It's easier to hear Jesus talk to you when you're leaning on him. This does not mean, as some have falsely taught in the world, that you can't go to Jesus unless you're all fessed up and righteoused up. Because, as Brother Thomas shared with us last night, that's the very definition of self-righteousness. That's the very quality in which we cannot come to Jesus. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That doesn't mean, as we sang this evening, this afternoon, that we shouldn't take time to be holy, that we shouldn't pursue personal sanctification, that we should not seek the righteousness of God to be actively displayed in our lives. But if you have to be able to stand on your own two feet before you can lean on Jesus, when are you ever going to lean on Jesus? It's the other way around. You have to lean on Jesus before you can ever stand. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus spoke the familiar words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. A burden, not rest, it seems like. And yet, if you could picture the draft animals of the day, animals not unequally yoked together, it was very important for the farmer to understand. Animals equally yoked together, that is, animals of the same kind in the yoke together. And when one animal grows weary, the other animal can continue to pull him forward with the momentum generated by his companionship. Well, Jesus, my friends, is the one who pulls the yoke when we can't lift it at all. He's the one who pulls us along, and there's no better, sweeter place to be than attached to Jesus, leaning on the breast of Jesus, connected to Jesus vitally and experientially, drawn to him through faith, connected to him in love and hope and trust, leaning upon your Savior. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn of me. Sometimes I play silly word games in my mind, and for some reason this morning it occurred to me as Brother Tim was having us sing, learning to lean on Jesus, that you could also sing that, leaning to learn on Jesus. Leaning on Him to learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Peter wanted. That's what the disciples wanted. That's what John conveyed on their behalf to Jesus. They needed to learn. They needed knowledge. They needed guidance. They needed wisdom. They needed comfort. They needed strength. And friends, the best way to learn from Jesus is to be leaning upon Him, seeking His direction, seeking communication from Him, seeking His very heartbeat. It's not just about words on a page. It's not about just abstract theories or articles of faith or well-established, long-held historical doctrines. I treasure all those things. But friends, a Christian walk without the heartbeat of Christ in it is a dead letter. We need to feel the heartbeat of Christ. We need to feel His direction. He will guide us with His eye, He says. I just picture an intimate relationship between a master and his dog, or a father and his son, who, or even close companions, co-workers, spouses, who through long years of experience and growing to know each other can communicate wordlessly across a crowded room. You know, the master can just blink in a certain direction and it's like saying sick him, and the dog takes off and defends against the enemy that's encroaching on the property. He guides with merely the casting of a glance from His eye when we're in tune with the heart and mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must lean, we must learn, and we do this that we might live. The just shall live by faith, Habakkuk said a long time ago. And Paul got so excited about it he couldn't stop quoting it. Martin Luther picked it up, and thousands of saints through the ages have come back to that simple, simple statement. Friends, there is no life in Christ apart from the life of trust, of faith, of leaning upon Him. It's not about laws and regulations. Yes, we need to be told what to do and why. But the motivation for it, the desire for it, the drive that flows, that moves, that carries us in the direction we're meant to go, comes from an inward dependency, an utter dependency upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's not something that can be achieved through externals. It's not something, as much as I think this world lacks discipline, it's not something that can be achieved through discipline as an exterior activity. It's something that must and does come and flow through the heart. He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. A well of water in us springing up unto eternal life. Man shall not live, Jesus told the devil back there in the wilderness as he was being tempted. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. You wouldn't go a day, probably, unless you did it deliberately, without eating. If you went 3 or 4 days without eating, it would start to catch up with you real quick. And I think in the ballpark of 3 weeks or so, you'd start to have serious problems that started to look like you were not long for this world. We need our natural food. But Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Not more than just the luxuries, not more than the bountiful, you know, dinner on the grounds that we enjoy in the middle of a meeting, but more than just the bare bread and water it takes to survive. He says, more essential for my well-being, more essential for my health, are the words of my Savior. I need them more than I need the natural caloric and vitamin intake, nutrient intake of consuming natural food. I need it to live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so that's really where the learning develops, isn't it? That's where He speaks to us. That's where He teaches us. We lean, we learn, we live as we are fed from His Word. And then, of course, I'm in John 13. I can't possibly, even though a good 3-point sermon is hard to beat, I'm going to go ahead and throw a 4th one in there too. We can't possibly leave the 13th chapter of John without saying love, can we? Because that's the lesson the Master taught His disciples that evening. He taught them so much more by what he did than even by the profound words he said. And he brought them to the conclusion of the evening and said, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." That's actually a very old commandment. It goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. But the new commandment goes on a little bit further than that. "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." The new commandment, the new covenant, the heart of Christianity itself, you can't separate Christianity from Christ. You can't separate true religion from the very person and character of our Savior. He says it is not about dead discipline. It is not about rituals. It is not about the letter of the law. It is about looking at me, the footsteps that we heard about this morning in the snow. It is about looking at me, seeing my face, seeing my expressions, hearing the tone of voice as I speak the words on the pages of your Bible. "Know my heart," he says. "Feel my heartbeat. Lean upon me. Learn of me. Live through me. And your life will be a life of love." A life of not the kind of love that two-thirds of every popular song composed since the 1940s in America use that word in some way, but hardly, I'm sure, a fraction of 1% of them have anything resembling the true character of love in them. The kind of love that is characterized by that ultimate sacrifice of the Lamb being shed, having His blood shed willingly for His heirs of promise. The love of ultimate sacrifice. The love of the two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And the more we are trying to love, and the more we are experiencing through us the love that comes from God, is shed abroad in our hearts and then shared with our brothers and sisters and with the world at large, the more we are experiencing that, and the more we are drawn back to the very first square to lean on the breast of Jesus. Lean on Him, my friends, and pray for me that I might lean on Him. God bless you.